The next portion of scripture that we're going to consider comes from Matthew, and it's the parable of the sower, which I'm sure many of you, like me, when you think of that parable, we've heard and read that parable many times. But I'm asking you to hear it again this morning, and if it's possible, to hear it with fresh ears and develop new understanding. That's our hope. Listen to these words. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered away because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So that is the parable as we have traditionally heard it and read it, and the explanation that follows. And of course, I can only share from a personal perspective. I can't share your perspective. I think that too often when we think of this parable, when I think of this parable, my familiarity with it jumps ahead to a foregone conclusion that we're called to be according to this parable, in that the only right answer to the question is that as soil, you must be the perfect mix of loam, moisture, and nutrient. And as we all know, there are many days of the week where we are not the perfect mixture. And so when I really reflect on the parable, it causes me to think about, do I look at the parable too simply when I know that I can't possibly be that perfect mix every day and in every situation? So we're asking you the question again. And before I rephrase that, this picture that you're looking at, I'm asking you to maybe just take a moment, if you haven't already reflected on that, and consider the base. Consider where the thriving greens are growing. Carolyn wants to interject.
I just want to say, can I just set up?
Yep, yep.
So I'll tell you the story about the picture. There's going to be another picture. Wally and I were in Cape Breton Island at a place called Pleasant Bay. And Pleasant Bay is a fishing village of about 100 people. Very friendly people. You can get Wi-Fi and mobile data there, maybe, right? Some days.
As long as the forest fire hasn't taken out the power.
Which it did. And but that's okay, because that got us out chatting with people. Pleasant Bay has a K-6 school in it with 6 students. 1 teacher and 1 EA. Imagine, for the teachers in our midst. I always have to find out about schools too. Sorry. But we went out, so that was what happened. We were out and we got back to the place where we were staying, and which was in someone's home, and there was no power. There was no one around, so we thought, I wonder what's going on. We could tell everywhere that there was no power. The neighbor had a generator, but we talked with some people in a restaurant, and they explained that there was a forest fire on the other side of the island, and that's where they got the power from, and so we didn't know what was going on. We thought, oh, we'll just check on our phones, you know. Oh, no, we don't have data. Never mind. We don't. All the things that we trusted in, or that we trust in so easily, were gone. And so we went out for a hike a little ways from where we were staying. There are canyons in Cape Breton Island. You can't explore all of them, but this canyon you can. So we hiked into this canyon and found ourselves in the most beautiful space, the most beautiful rock garden. It was lush. Even the path we walked on was stony, and you had to watch where you were walking because all the tree roots were on top of the stones, and you had to watch, you didn't trip and stuff. So Wally was a little bit ahead of me, and he was sitting at a spot, and I came up beside him, and as I was coming, I saw this rock. I don't know if you can tell, but there's a rock there with the most beautiful, lush, brilliant green growing out of it, like a little mini garden. And then, Trevor, if you can show the next picture too. Right beside us was this. And I'm going to give you a minute to look at this one, because if you can tell, there's rocks there and a decaying sort of stump growing around it. I'll describe it that way. But take a few minutes and ask yourself, what I started to think is, this is our own parable. We're in this rock garden, and our parable is showing us a different relationship of life and rocks, of plants to rocks, than the one that's in the Bible, than the traditional one. Okay, sorry.
So as Carolyn said, we want you to take a few minutes to consider the parable that we've just read, and to consider these two photos, and we're focusing on the last one, and the question that we're reposing is at the bottom for you. But in a few moments, after you've had a chance to reflect, I'm going to ask that you just turn to each other in groups of 2 or 3 and perhaps share your thoughts and reflections relative to these photos and relative to the parable that we've read. So I'll give you a few moments to think, and then we'll turn and gather in groups of 2 or 3.